Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
We're in the 15th week of the sermon series, Boldness. Everyone say boldness. The theme verse for this series is Proverbs 28:1, which says, "We have the boldness of a lion." That's the Passion Translation. The NIV, I think, says, "The righteous are as bold as lions." Through this series, we're looking at some of the bold men and women of the Bible and their moments of boldness, from slaying giants, facing kings, standing for truth, to risking their lives. The Bible is filled with bold men and women, just like this room is today, filled with bold men and women who are standing up and speaking up for righteousness in this hour of darkness. There's no surprise that we're living in a day of darkness. Amen. A day of darkness and compromise. But many are standing up and speaking up for righteousness. Many are compromising in this hour of darkness. Many in the church are compromising. Believer, we must not compromise. We must stand on the word of God like we've never stood before. This is our future. And so we have to stand on the word, believing every word that God has said will come forth. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you hear, regardless of what is spoken, the word of God, stand on it. Many are compromising in this hour, but not us, because we have the boldness of a lion. Amen. How many are standing up and speaking up at work? Let me see your hands. How many are standing up and speaking up against this ideology, this cultural mindset, this darkness that is teaching us to bow? How many are standing up and speaking up against the mask and the vaccine mandates? Let me see your hand. Will you stand to your feet? How many are standing up and speaking up at city hall meetings, school board meetings? Will you stand to your feet? How many are standing up and speaking up against this indoctrination and this brainwashing of culture? The critical race theory, BLM, this transgender agenda, will you stand to your feet? How many are standing up and speaking up against this brainwashing of the evil culture that surrounds us? Will you stand? And how many, lastly, are standing up and speaking up, confronting the evil trying to destroy our great nation today? Will you stand to your feet? Church, it's time to stand up and to speak up. I said it's time to stand up and to speak up. If we don't stand up, we'll lose the ground to stand on. If we don't speak up, we'll lose our opportunity to speak. Use your voice or lose your voice, believer. We must stand in this hour of darkness. We're called to be a light in the darkness, but make no mistake about it. Light does not blend into darkness. Light does not mix with darkness. Light drives out darkness. Light eliminates darkness. Light exposes darkness. We're called to live godly in an ungodly world. Titus 2:12 says, "Grace instructs us to give up ungodly living and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this world." It is time to stand up and to speak up. And let me say this, if we cannot stand up and speak up in the house of God, will never be able to stand up and speak up outside of the house of God. The title of my sermon today is Live Godly in an Ungodly World. Turn to your neighbor and say, live godly in an ungodly world, and you may be seated on that. Today we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to look at a familiar story in the Old Testament. The story of Daniel in the lion's den. How many have not heard of Daniel in the lion's den? Anyone in the house? A classic that most of us has heard. Daniel's story is much like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's story. Daniel was faced with a decision. There was a law made that said no one could pray except to the king. And if they were caught praying, what would happen? They would be thrown into a lion's den. And so Daniel had a choice, to pray or to not to pray, to obey God or to obey man. We're faced with this decision daily. Let's go to Daniel 6:1. The Bible says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them. One of them was Daniel. Everyone say Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel, so distinguished, everyone say distinguished, himself among the administration or the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities, that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. And we'll try to talk more about that next week. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we'll never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as our God and our Savior. And God, I pray that you would anoint the remaining part of this sermon, anoint every heart, every mind, every eye, every ear, every person in this building and those viewing online today. Anoint this word. Allow us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Holy Spirit, speak. God, give us ears to hear. A heart that is open. And Father, I pray for transformation, reformation, confirmation. I pray for conviction. And I pray that we would hear what the Father is speaking in this hour. God, if there's any word that's just from Joseph, God, remove it and replace it with the Father's heart. Let your heartbeat flow through my mouth into the ears of your people. And God, let every person walk out of this place with only one response. Amen. So be it, Father. In your mighty name, everyone says, amen. The Bible says that Daniel distinguished himself. That means that he stood out among the rest. Even though he was living and working in an ungodly environment, he was stuck in an undesirable situation. How many know how Daniel felt today? Yet even though the Bible says he was trustworthy, another translation says he was faithful, and he was promoted because of his trustworthiness and because of his faithfulness. See, believer, you can be promoted wherever God places you. Whether it's in an undesirable situation, an ungodly environment, you can be promoted in that environment. Don't get sucked into the culture that surrounds you. You're called to bring change to that culture. You're called to be a catalyst of change to the culture that surrounds you. Remember, you're called to be light in darkness. You're called to be a voice in the wilderness. A watchman on the wall. That's your calling in this hour. So wherever you are today, you can be promoted. Because God promotes faithfulness and trustworthiness. And what happens to unfaithfulness? Demotion. Right? We live by a different set of standards in the world. We're not called to lie, manipulate, deceive, or gossip, are we? That's the world's calling. Not the church's, not believers' calling. That's the world's calling. We're called to be faithful. We're called to be trustworthy. We're called to live godly in an ungodly world. We're called to be a light in the darkness. We're called to be different than the world. In Philippians 2:15, the Bible says, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, because remember, he's coming back for a church without blemish, without spot or wrinkle. That's the kind of church he's coming back for. In the midst of a morally crooked and spiritually perverted generation. How many feel like this verse was written for today? Can I read that again? In the midst of a morally crooked and spiritually perverted generation, where everything that once was wrong is now right, where everything that we would consider unacceptable is now completely acceptable, normalized, participated in, and even celebrated. Shame. Shame on us. Among whom you, though, this is for you, among whom you are seen as bright lights, beacons shining out clearly. In a world of darkness, you are a light in the darkness. You're called to be a light in the darkness. But remember, make no mistake about it, light does not blend in with darkness. You cannot bring a light into this room, shut out all the lights out. What happens? You see it. Daniel was the epitome of this verse. They could find no corruption in him. I mean, think about it. They searched. They looked in his closet. They couldn't find anything corrupt about him. Can we say we are the epitome of this verse? Come on. Can we say like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ? Are we comfortable saying that as believers? Make that your goal. Make that your strive. There was something different about Daniel. I can say that about some of you. There's some different people in the house today. Right? Cindy, you're different, girl. Jeff, confirm. Just a loud amen. Jenny, is Jenny in the house? Steve, is Cindy different? She's different. The three amigos sitting over here on the left, raise your hand, three amigos. I forgot we're missing one of them. She skipped out. You girls are different. You're different, right? But not different in a bad way. Different in a good way. In a positive way. You bring change to the environment that surrounds you. You impact the environment that you're in daily. You're different. See, believer, the greatest compliment you can receive is that you're different from the world. I said the greatest compliment that you can receive is that you're different from culture. You're different than the world. You're different, girl. You're different, bro. Praise God, you're called to be different. You're called to look different, talk different, act different than the world. You're not called to blend in. You're called to stand out in the crowd. And it's time for believers and Christians to start standing out in the crowd instead of blending in. You're not called to be a human chameleon. Just camouflaging your faith among the crowd. Oh, I believe, but I'm going to hide my faith. The Bible says, let your light shine. You know what that means? Hold it up. Be a light in the midst of darkness. Don't hide your faith. Because remember, the Bible says that if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you when it matters most. Don't be ashamed. Be proud. The pastor taught me to be proud. Don't go out and say, I taught pride in service today. Pride in him. Only in him. Not in yourself, but in he who lives inside of you. That's something to be proud about. Philippians 3:20. The Apostle Paul said that our citizenship is in heaven, not of this world. Come on, let that hit home. Your citizenship is in heaven, not of this world. See, when we choose to follow Christ and become believers, we become strangers and aliens in this world. Tim, we're called to be a stranger in every sense of the word. Cindy, you're a stranger. You're a stranger. Come on, each and every one of us are called to be strangers. Not Johnny Depp strange, though. Come on, not Jehovah Witness strange. Not that strange. Don't be that strange, believer. I'll teach you what I teach my kids, stranger danger. We want people running to us, not from us. Right? Don't be that strange. 1 Peter 2:9 in the King James Version, the Bible calls you a peculiar people. How many know a peculiar person? Come on, how many are a peculiar person? Some synonyms of peculiar, this word is strange, odd, weird. Build, you have permission by the Bible, by the Word of God, to be weird, to be peculiar, to be strange, to be odd. But don't take it too far, because some people do. Our goal isn't to be weird. Our goal is to be different in such a way that it distinguishes us as citizens of heaven and not of this world. Jesus said, you're in the world, but not of the world. See, we should be identified as not of this world, but of another world, a heavenly world. We are citizenships of heaven. We're strangers and aliens in this world. And so a stranger and an alien should stand out. I don't know if you've ever seen an alien before, but they stand out, right? Like if a stranger walks into your home, they stand out, right? But don't be that weird. First Peter 2:9. The Bible says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The Bible says, believer, we're called out of darkness. How many were called out of darkness? Come on, how many were called out of some sin that you look back today and it's like, praise God, hallelujah. I'm no longer participating in that lifestyle. I'm no longer involved in that sin. I was called out of that darkness and to be a light. But that doesn't mean that we were totally removed from darkness. Because remember, Jesus said, Father, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one in the world, from the darkness in the world. And Jesus went on to say, Father, I sent them into the world. Just as you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world to be a light and to be salt. Believers, we're called to be the light of the world. We're called to be the salt of the earth. But not just so that you can add your peculiar, weird flavor to the world, right? See, in ancient times, salt was used as a preservative. And so as believers, we're called to both preserve the gospel message and to preserve godly values in an ungodly world. We're called to live out this word. This is called the living word. You know why? Because we're called to live it out, brother. We're called to walk it out daily. Amen. We're called to live godly in an ungodly world. We're called to be a light in the darkness and to add our flavor along the way. First Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. And so they can search, they can look, but they can't find any corruption in you. The New English translation says, maintain good conduct among non-Christians or unbelievers, because our ultimate goal is to win them to Christ. Amen? Our ultimate goal at Crossroads is to lead the lost, the bound, the broken, the addicted, the homeless, whatever, to Christ. And so our goal as a big church is to lead the leftist, the radicalist, the socialist, the Islamic, the ISIS, the brainwashed, the blinded, to Christ. Shouldn't that be our goal? Come on, to lead them out of darkness and into the light. And we do that by being a light in the darkness, not by blending into the darkness. Are you with me? I said we do that by being a light in the darkness, not by blending in. The God who called you out of darkness is calling you to call the world out of darkness, to call the lost, to call the addicted, to call the blinded and the brainwashed out of the darkness that they're living in. And this phrase, called out, isn't like publicly shaming them, which is so easy to do, right? Because we're being hit on every corner as believers, the church in this hour, and it's so easy just to hit back. It's so easy just to attack back. But this word called out isn't saying to publicly shame them. It's more like taking them and leading them out of the darkness through the love of Christ. But don't forget that love without truth is not true love. And the same thing, truth without love isn't true love. We're called to lead them out. And sometimes, unfortunately, we got to take them by the hand and drag them out of there. Pray them out of there. Lead them out. But if we're living in darkness, we can never lead anyone out of darkness. We have to be living in the light. 1 Peter 2:11. The Bible says, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from the sensual urges, those dishonorable desires that wage war against the soul. The New Living Translation says, keep away from the worldly desires. The Passion Translation says, evil desires. The Voice Translation says, to resist. As believers, we're called to refrain and to resist the evil ways of the world. We're called to resist the ungodly, perverted, crooked ways of culture, those ways that we know are wrong. The Bible calls them wrong. And so we're called to resist those things that are being celebrated and normalized in culture. The Bible doesn't change. I don't care how much culture change. I don't care how many times your mind changes. The Bible does not change. It stands true. What was sin then is sin now. And just because our culture changes does not give us the excuse to say it's okay, it's acceptable. It's like that saying, love is love. No, love isn't love. There's only one love, according to the Word of God, between a man and a woman. No other love. Everything else is inhumane, unnatural. It would be like saying, I'm going to go here. It would be like saying, well, the pedophiler loves the little. Come on. It's inhumane. It's unnatural. It's unacceptable, according to the Word of God. So therefore, we have to voice that. We can't sit back and, it's okay. Mm-mm. It's not okay. But again, we don't publicly shame it. Somehow, in some way, we've got to, through the love of Christ, lead him out of it. And it's a difficult, difficult journey. But it's not impossible, because all things are possible to him who believes. Listen, our mission isn't impossible. Our mission is possible through Holy Spirit, through the power of Holy Spirit. So we're, another word for resist is to fight. Everyone say fight. Another word for resist is to fight. Some pastors are preaching, put down your swords and pick up a hoe. But I'm saying no to the hoe. Pick up the sword. It's time to fight, believer. Church, I said it's time to fight. We're at war. Like it or not, believe it or not, reject it or not, we're at war. There's a war going on for the faith. There's a war going on for our nation. There's a war going on between good and evil, right and wrong. There's a war going on for our children. They're trying to indoctrinate them into this nonsense, lies of the devil. There's a war going on, and we must fight in this hour. We must stand up and speak up like never before. We must not sit back and keep silent. Our nation is being governed by evil today. Can I say that again? Our nation is being governed by evil today. And although we're in the world, and although we're not of this world, we're in the world. And you remember what Jesus said, occupy until I come. What does that mean? Go hide in fear? Surrender to evil? No, it means stand up and speak up. It means fight the good fight. It means to be a watchman on the wall. It means to arm yourself and be ready for war because you are a warrior. See, some believers say we should keep silent when it comes to politics, but let me boldly say that's a lie from the pits of hell. That's what Satan wants you to do, be silent. How many would be silent if someone broke into your home tonight? And they begin to destroy your home. They begin to have their way with your family. Would you be silent, believer? Absolutely not. Why? Because they're breaking into your home, trying to destroy your home, your family. We can't be silent. Listen, if you're elderly and you're a child, yeah, be silent. Go hide under the bed until help comes. But us men, we're going to be the help that comes. Amen. We're going to protect our home. We're going to handle business. And for everyone else, that's why they sell burglar alarms. Get you an ADT, Ring, Blink, whatever it is that you need. But as for me and my house, we'll meet you at the door with a 9 mil. Just saying. We're ready. We ain't scared. It's time to stand up and to speak up. How many would hand over your keys to a known burglar? Absolutely not. You lock the door, you set the alarm. You're packing, right, Tony? It's time to set the alarm and protect our home. If we remain silent, if we sit back, we will not only lose our voice, we'll lose the ground that we stand on, our nation. Edmund Burke said this, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing. And I'll add good men and good women. And I'll also add say nothing. Someone posted this week, Julie. Y'all better wake up real quick. Obedience is not a virtue. When I studied the Holocaust in school, I remember thinking, how did Hitler get 6 million people to follow along and not fight back? No fight. Then I realized I'm watching my fellow Americans follow the same path. The path of least resistance. Henry David said the path of least resistance leads to crooked rivers and crooked men. Church, and I'm preaching, pick up your sword and fight. And for those of you that are new to the church, this is our sword. I'm not talking about a literal knife. Ephesians chapter 6, this is our sword, the Bible. This is the book for you and me. And remember, I'm not a doctor with a PhD. I'm not a politician with an LLD, a liar, liar degree, a BS degree, I mean a PS degree, political science. I'm a pastor with a BIBLE. And believers, that applies to you. You are believers with the BIBLE. Stand on the BIBLE in this hour. And believe it, that God will do what he said he will do. He will not forsake us. Never, he said. Government wants you to obey without question today. Culture wants you to blindly follow. The lamestream media wants you to mindlessly, foolishly believe their lies. Satan wants you blinded and brainwashed. Someone posted this. I think it was you, Julie, this side. Breaking news. The federal government now recommends that you wear a blindfold along with your face mask to protect you from seeing what's really going on. Hello? They want you blindfolded and muzzled, or masked, whatever, however you want to say it. Culture preaches conform, but the Word of God says do not conform. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world. The Voice translation says don't allow the world to mold you into its image. In other words, don't be a puppet, believer. The Passion translation says stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Point number one, Holy Spirit transforms the conformed mind. Come on, let that sink in. Holy Spirit transforms the conformed mind. Holy Spirit transforms and renews our minds. Praise God. Let this verse hit home. Holy Spirit cleanses our minds. And how many know this is a continual daily process? How many at some point this week needed your mind cleansed or renewed? I know I did. When you woke up on the wrong side of the bed? When someone else woke up on the wrong side of the bed? When your children lost their ever-loving minds? When you were tempted by the sin that you overcame 3 years ago? Hello? When you were offended and you wanted to get even? Does that cover everybody? See, Holy Spirit renews our minds in all of these situations, praise God, if we let him. Holy Spirit transforms and reforms our minds. Point number two, Holy Spirit gives you the power to transform and reform rather than conform. Holy Spirit releases transformation power and he renews our minds. And with a renewed mind comes renewed vision, renewed thinking, renewed faith, renewed living, and a renewed boldness. Boldness comes through Holy Spirit. The boldness to stand up and to speak up in this hour comes through Holy Spirit. Living godly in an ungodly world requires the boldness of Holy Spirit. We cannot do it without Holy Spirit. So what we need more than anything else in this hour of darkness is the power and the boldness of Holy Spirit. We need the boldness and the power of Holy Spirit working in and through us daily in this hour of darkness so that we can stand in boldness. Holy Spirit keeps your light bright. Holy Spirit keeps your salt salty, girl. Holy Spirit gives you the boldness that you need to stand. But without Holy Spirit, many are blinded and brainwashed. And instead of transformed, they're conformed. Instead of confronting darkness, they're compromising with darkness. Holy Spirit transforms the conformed mind. He reforms the deformed mind. He opens up the eyes of the blind. He sets the deceived free. Holy Spirit cleanses our minds. Or let me say it this way. Holy Spirit washes the brains of the brainwashed. Can I say that one more time? Holy Spirit washes the brains of the brainwashed. And what we need today is a great revival that washes the brains of the brainwashed. We need a great revival that opens the eyes of the blind today. Let's go to Daniel 5:11. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the Aramaic, it means indwells him. He was endued with that power, Pastor Tom. The Holy Spirit indwelled him. This verse is speaking of Daniel. See, we need men and women in the church today that are filled with the Spirit of the living God, that are endued with this power from on high. Like us, Daniel was living in a day of darkness and compromise, but Daniel was standing in boldness in this hour of darkness. Ezekiel 36:27 says, "And I will put my spirit inside of you and inspire you to live by my statutes and follow my laws above the laws of man, above the laws of government." Not just when it's convenient, but when it's inconvenient. Not just when it's acceptable, but when it's unacceptable. Holy Spirit inspires you and gives you the boldness to live out the Word of God in any and every circumstance. It's through the Holy Spirit that we have the power to stand and to speak in an hour of darkness. Apart from the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to live godly in an ungodly world. It's impossible to stand up and to speak up without Holy Spirit. Without Holy Spirit, we're led to blend in and to follow the crowd. Without Holy Spirit, many are blinded and brainwashed. But with Holy Spirit comes discernment. How many of you feel like you have the gift of discernment? Praise God. We need more believers with the gift of discernment to discern when they're being deceived, to discern when deception's being preached, being taught, being spoken into our ears. Jesus said several times throughout the Gospels, "He who has ears, let them hear." Evidently, we can have ears but be unable to hear. How many have ears this morning? Everyone in this place, but not everyone is able to hear. This is spiritual ears. This is those whose hearts are able to receive the truth of what they're hearing. And in Revelation 2:29, Jesus said, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit," everyone say Spirit. "The Spirit says to the churches," and let this hit home, Jesus spoke this statement to the church. So even in the church, some can hear and some can't hear. And that's why there's so much deception in the church today. Because some can hear and some cannot hear. So not only is government, culture, and the lamestream media selling deception, unfortunately, there's deception coming from pulpits across America today. Unfortunately. Hebrews 10:13 says we've eaten the fruit of deception. Church, it's possible that we're preaching and believing deception in the modern day church, in the modern day pulpit. It's possible. Because the sole purpose of the Word of God is to produce life, is to transform life, is to reform life. It's not just to encourage you, believer, it's to transform you. It's not just to pat you on the back, it's to poke you. It's not just to make you happy, it's to make you holy. And somebody needs to shout, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's to ultimately produce life in you, eternal life. If the purpose of the word being preached is just to encourage, it will produce temporary, conditional faith. And how many would agree that there's just a little bit of too much conditional and temporary faith in the body of Christ today? But the word of life produces eternal life, eternal faith, unconditional faith. I don't want any part of producing temporary faith. I just want to be honest with you. I don't want any part of producing conditional faith. No, I want Holy Spirit to produce unconditional, eternal faith in each and every one of you so that you'll be able to stand when life hits, when the storms of life arise, when difficulty comes, when your marriage falls apart. so that you'll be able to stand through whatever life throws at you. Because how many know life happens? I said life happens. Some have replaced the word of life with the word of deception, because life isn't always fairy tales, happy endings, and happy ever afters. I think I said that wrong. Life isn't always fairy tales and happy endings. There are some battles that we will not win. That'll make the crowd turn and run from the church. But true men and women of faith know win or lose, we have the victory. Amen. In Christ. Point number three, the modern day gospel produces fairy tale faith. I said the modern day gospel produces fairy tale faith. And you know what fairy tale means? It means fake. It means false. It means pretend. It means make believe. Not real. If all we're preaching is fairy tales and happily ever afters or blessings and victories, we're preaching deception. Because Jesus promised us that there would be trouble in this life. See, we don't need a fairy tale faith, we need a real faith. Because when life doesn't turn out to have a fairy tale ending, people with a fairy tale faith abandon the faith. They jump ship. They return to a life of sin because they believe the lie. Listen, I was taught stronger faith in Sunday school class as a kid than what's coming out of the modern day pulpit today. There's more sound doctrine coming out of little old ladies in Sunday school classes than the modern day pulpit. And that's a shame. Daniel's story is similar to the three amigos story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His faith in God led him into the lion's den. Don't get quiet on me. Because faith in God doesn't always lead you down yellow brick roads into fairy tales and happily ever afters. Faith in God gets you thrown in the fires at times, into a den of lions, and leads you down broken, lonely, narrow roads. You know the narrow road of Matthew 7:14? Jesus said, narrow is the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. The New Living Translation says this road is difficult. See, the narrow road is a rocky road, not a yellow brick road. I said the narrow road is a rocky road, not a yellow brick road. The yellow brick road leads to Oz with a cowardly lion. I don't want to go there. But the rocky road leads to life with a bold lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's where I'm headed. But note, Jesus said, only a few find it. Maybe only a few find it because only a few preach it. Hello? Come on, I'm preaching. The rocky road is a lonely road at times. Difficult. It leads you into the storm instead of away from the storm. Into suffering at times. And sometimes leaves you shipwrecked. Talk to the Apostle Paul. I'm preaching truth, not fairy tales. Point number four, the real gospel produces real faith. I said the real gospel of Jesus Christ produces real faith. See, we need more sermons today that produce real faith instead of fairy tale faith. More sermons that produce eternal faith instead of temporary faith. Unconditional faith instead of conditional. Not just sermons that get me excited and encouraged, but sermons that get me rooted and strengthened in Christ. Because on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. I want to teach you how to stand up and to speak up out there, not just in here. See, pastors need to start teaching their people how to say amen out there, not just in here. Because out there is real, right? That's where life begins, at the back door. Difficult times. But what does amen mean? So be it. And so no matter what comes against you, if you have a faith that is rooted and strengthened in Christ, you can walk through it and say, so be it. Your will be done. God, lead me through the fire. Lead me through this difficulty. But regardless, I'm going to stand on your word. that I'll walk through the fire but not be burned. No weapon formed against me shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And although I will encounter difficulties, you will not leave me nor forsake me. We need more modern-day worship songs to be based on the real gospel and not this fairy tale gospel. Not just songs that get me jumping up and down, but songs that get me firmly planted in the ground. Don't just get me jumping. Get me rooted. Get me planted. Get me strengthened in Christ. Listen, I have no problem with jumping. I did P90. But excitement can only take you so far. The back door. Because beyond the back door is where real life happens. And excitement won't get you through a nasty breakup. Excitement won't get you through a difficult storm. But being rooted and strengthened in Christ will. See, without a firm foundation, whatever storm hits us causes our house and our foundation to crumble. But when we're rooted and strengthened in Christ, no storm, no valley, no attack of the enemy will cause our foundation to crumble, because remember, Christ is the solid rock upon which we stand. He is our foundation. Jesus said that true worship, let me go back. I missed it. Jesus said true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. Do you know what that means? In spirit and in truth. In the anointing of Holy Spirit and in the truth of God's holy word. We cannot truly worship God without Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. True worship is spirit-filled worship. I'm not talking about a 20-minute segment of a church service. I'm talking about real worship, daily worship, a life of worship unto God. Holy Spirit produces and releases true worship in your life. Not just about raising your hands, but turning your heart toward Him daily, seeking Him. So Holy Spirit produces and releases real faith, just like the real gospel produces real faith. The real gospel is called the living word. Why? Because we're called to live it out. We're called to walk it out daily, in good times and in bad, in times of blessings and times of suffering. That's the gospel, the real gospel. That's the gospel that I must preach. I have complete confidence in the real gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16 in the Good News Translation, I have complete confidence in the gospel. It is God's power to save all who believe. The Amplified says, to everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and a firm reliance. Trust, surrender, reliance. Trust, surrender, reliance. The Message Bible says, it's news I'm most proud to proclaim. This extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts in Him, starting with Jews and then right on to everyone else, the blinded, the brainwashed, the radicalists, the leftists, the lost, the blinded, the confused. It says everyone. Don't limit the power of God. Don't limit the power of Holy Spirit. He can rescue anyone and everyone. It says God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming what Scripture has said all along. The person in right standing before God by trusting Him really lives. And in the Passion Translation, it says, I refuse to be ashamed of the wonderful message of God's liberating power. Everyone say liberating. What does liberating mean? Set free, delivered, unleashed in us through Christ, for I am thrilled to preach that. And the Voice Translation says, I won't shy away from it. And I'm going to close with this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the Apostle Paul calls the gospel the message of truth. The gospel is the message of truth. And remember what Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the, and the truth shall, only the truth will set us free. Only the truth will set the lost, the bound, the addicted, the blinded, the brainwashed. Those who feel far from God, only the truth will set them free. The truth of God's holy word. Not this fairy tale gospel, but the real gospel. Let us bow and pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for this word. And Father, I pray that somehow in some way that every heart, every person in this place was spoken to today by Holy Spirit. God, I pray that revelation, transformation, conviction was spoken in this house and online. And Father, our only appropriate response to your word is amen. And so Father, I pray that everyone in this place would have the faith to say amen. So be it, God. And if there's anyone here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that they would make a decision, a commitment to receive you, to ask you to come in, to cleanse them, to set them free, to deliver them, to liberate them. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Is there anyone in the house today that would say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to be liberated. I need to be set free. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, would you raise your hand? I got you, brother. Anybody else in the house? Okay. Father, I pray right now that you would touch this hand that was raised. And God, that you would come in to this young man's heart, liberate, set free, deliver him. God, let him know that you are the Savior. And that God, that you have saved him, set him free, delivered him. No matter how many times the enemy lies, he is set free and delivered. Because he's put his faith and trust in you. So right now, God, if there's any sin that's been committed in the past that hasn't been dealt with, I pray right now, Father, we repent and ask you to forgive of every sin that was committed. Set him free. Let him walk in salvation because he is saved according to your word. We thank you. In your mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen.